Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi there, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks so much for joining us today in our conversation about the conscience. We all have a conscience, but what role does it really play in our everyday lives? Hebrews 9:14 says that we should cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The conscience is key in aiding our walk with the Lord, finding freedom in Christ, and having ears to hear what the Spirit says. So join in the conversation as we discuss the characteristics of the conscience. Hebrews 4:7 says, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." And Janie, I never really thought about how the conscience plays a role in hardening our hearts.
Well, and you know, a hardened heart is not a restful heart, is it, Sharon?
No.
It's a heart full of anxiety and perhaps anger or confusion. And in this same chapter where you have opened us today with in Hebrews 4, I'd like to continue on here because it tells us in verse 11 that we need to be diligent to enter the rest, lest anyone fall according to the example of disobedience. And a heart that is at rest is a heart that is listening to its conscience. Okay. And I have found that there are certain passages of Scripture that my heart and my conscience need to always go back to for guidance.
Okay.
And that's in Hebrews 4:12. This is, to me, one of the most guiding scriptures that we have for the very subject we're talking on, about how to have a good, solid conscience with a foundation that the conscience can be assured of standing on.
Okay.
It can have its absolutes. It says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart."
Well, that sounds like exactly what you've said that the conscience does for us.
It does. And so let's divide this just a little bit so that we can see what the true characteristics are that a conscience can be solid in.
Okay.
So the first thing it's got to do, it's got to be in the Word of God, because we see here that the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And if you have ever had a two-edged knife, you know it does a lot of cutting away when it goes in, and it's got a serrated edge on both sides.
Right.
So it's given us a description that the Word of God can go deep within our soul, deep within our heart, deep within our conscience, so that it can start to cut away what's different from the soul and the spirit. And that's where the conscience really comes in, because our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. And if that does not have a solid foundation, then our spirit is not going to be at rest.
Okay.
So knowing the Word of God allows our spirit to be able to relax in the truth, the foundation of the Word of God, and that then allows our soul and our conscience to operate freely, because we are operating from the way God has designed the conscience, not the way man, after having the fall, has soiled the conscience because of having an old nature.
Right.
Now, even for an unbeliever, Sharon, the old nature, they don't have a new nature. The conscience can still function, but it doesn't function consistently on a regular basis correctly, because it doesn't have the spirit to hold it in check.
So the conscience is like it's like our moral institution.
Yes.
So it holds our moral values, whether we're born again or not born again.
Yes, and so let's just stop off for a minute here and talk about how that works in an unbeliever before we move on to how it works in a believer.
Okay.
And that is, someone can be an unbeliever and still have a moral, they're not going to go out and commit murder. They're not going to go out and commit adultery, but they may go out and tell lies.
Okay.
So you see, their conscience is not consistently following the truth of Scripture in every aspect.
Okay.
But Hebrews 4:12 tells us that if we will allow the Scripture to be our foundation and that we go by what the Scripture says, then it's going to allow our conscience to discern when to commend or when to condemn.
Right. So it'll tell us when there are sins.
Yes.
When there's wrong attitudes, when there's transgressions.
And that's what it says. The last part of Hebrews 4:12, it says it's also a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart.
Okay.
And the conscience is the tool that provides that process of Hebrews 4:12.
So when we talk about looking deep into our heart to find, you know, the dark corners, the things that are in there, then we're allowing our conscience to reveal that to us.
We're allowing yes, exactly. The conscience is functioning and we are listening.
Okay.
All right. And we may not even know it's the conscience, but we are still following through with the way God has designed his body for us to operate under.
So really we're listening to the Holy Spirit through our conscience.
Yes, okay. Yes. I like the way you said that. Yes.
Okay.
So this Hebrews 4:12 can really be a foundation for understanding how the conscience wants to operate and what it must have, the Word of God, and what it wants to do is to teach us how to cut away what is not lasting and then to discern on how we think and how we apply.
So that's why when we rationalize our behavior, we're basically teaching the conscience to not talk to me about that.
Well, we're teaching the conscience that we'll be the final authority, our rationalizing. Let me give you a couple of good examples just from the Old Testament, okay?
Okay.
Okay, now we know that David was a man after God's own heart, all right? But David didn't always live up to a supreme walk.
Right.
Sometimes his walk and talk didn't match. And in 1 Samuel 24:5, David's heart struck him after he had cut off the edge of Saul's robe.
Okay.
And David knew that even though Saul was not living according to the way God wanted him to live as king, he was still king. And so his conscience struck him when he really took advantage of the king.
So his heart struck him based on what he knew about God, not what he knew about Saul.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then right around that same area in 1 Samuel 24:10, David's heart also, and the Old Testament uses the word smote him after he had numbered the people to check his military strength. Well, that doesn't sound like such a bad thing to number the people that you have in your army, but it was a lack of trusting God. He was looking to man's strength, man's sufficiency to defeat the enemy rather than trusting God for the provisions that God said he would provide for him. So he was leaning unto his own understanding and he wasn't listening to his conscience, which would have given him an absolute, don't do this, David.
Right.
Okay. And then we can also talk about one of the main places where all this trouble began was way back there in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve decided to eat of the fruit. And so what happened, the result was they had shame and they had fear because they had chosen to operate in their own understanding, which is why we need the conscience, so that we operate under God's understanding and God's knowledge, which he says he's provided for us in the Word.
Right. You had said that the conscience is like our own little mini courtroom that judges us based on what is right and what is wrong. There is a standard that it has.
Yes, and the conscience will give us an absolute. And we don't like absolutes if we're not wanting to abide by them or understand them. And it doesn't feel good. So we go with our feelings and we wind up developing a bad conscience. Now, we don't recognize that at first. because we've got some emotions in there. Uh-huh. And so we're still dealing with our emotions and we're still dealing with our feelings. And that causes us some confusion. And as soon as you get some confusion in your conscience, then it starts to get muddled.
So this is why we say that certain things are a choice, that it's not based on your feeling. It's based on what you know to be right and wrong.
Yes. The conscience doesn't do a battle. It talks to the mind, and the mind does the battle. The conscience is absolute. It's the courtroom, like you said. It says, yes, Sharon, this is right. No, Sharon, this isn't right. Sharon, you need to forgive this and forget it. Or Sharon, you need to go make amends. It directs us.
So it's like the Holy Spirit is the district attorney saying to the judge, the conscience, hey, Sharon is guilty or she's not guilty.
That's a good way of looking at it. And the word conscience itself is not even mentioned in the Old Testament. It's always the heart. And then in the New Testament, Paul saw the need to relate what was in the heart and the way they had been taught in the Old Testament to a practical form of behavior in the New Testament. So he actually mentions the conscience 29 times between, I believe it's Corinthians, Hebrews, and Peter. So what I have noticed with the conscience in the New Testament, that it is always associated in some form or another within the close proximity, whether it's that verse or the verse before or the verse after, with the heart. And it also is tied in with the spirit. And then another word that I've just been recently seeing the identity, and that is when you speak of spirit, there's the word power. Somewhere right around there, there is the word power, dunamis, mighty in power by the Spirit. And I had never really just seen the correlation of the way that the Spirit keeps being expressed in his responsibility and duty of guiding us and informing us comes in power.
Okay.
And then you think about the Holy Spirit relating everything back to the fullness and completeness of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And that he's always taking us back to the Jesus Christ. And now I'm seeing, okay, power by the Spirit, power from the Spirit via the Lord Jesus Christ, and power of going to be able to have confidence in Almighty God.
Yeah. So the more we seek God, the more empowered we are by the Holy Spirit for him to guide our lives. So part of a good conscience is a conscience that really seeks after God, right?
Yes. That's great. You learned that in one lesson.
Yes. Finally. Finally, I got it.
So Sharon, basically what we're saying is, we have to have a solid foundation. We have to have absolute standards. The conscience provides this for us. You don't negotiate with your conscience. It's not open to argumentation on what is best. And the conscience has to have a final authority. And it can't be anything other than the person who created that final authority, the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, our Creator. But since sin, we don't like him being absolute because he can take things really tough on us if we don't want to follow through because we've now got sin and we've got a dual nature that we're having to work with.
Okay.
So the conscience helps to separate that out. It's either it's right or it's wrong. And then the scriptures will tell you how it's right or wrong as you wait on the Lord and commit your ways back unto him in your conversations with the Lord. So let's go to the characteristics of what a good conscience should look like.
Okay.
Okay. So a good conscience will be looking at things that pertain to God, not according to the wisdom of man. And then a good conscience will seek God. It's going to want to know. And as we grow in our knowledge, so the conscience also grows in its understanding that's what is of the Lord and what is of man. And one of the verses that's the obvious there is 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18 simply tells us that we look into the face of God like into a mirror. So Sharon, if you were today to hold up a mirror to your face, but be looking at your heart, would you see the character of Christ? Would you sense the love of God, the patience of God, the long-suffering, the gentleness? Or would you see in that mirror unforgiveness, hostility, resentment, anger, unforgiveness? It's a seeing by looking in the mirror as an illustration, but looking into your heart and seeing what the conscience shows to you that you have in your heart.
As we read the scriptures.
Yes, ma'am.
As we pray, as we seek the Lord.
And then, you know, we've got to have some faith in this, don't we? Because I believe we've got a lot of scripture that says that without faith it's impossible to please God.
Right.
And then we have Hebrews 11, where we have the hallmark of saints that have lived showing faith. So, Sharon, there's a couple of verses in Timothy. Have you got your Bible open to 1 Timothy 3:16?
And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory.
Now, that is our foundation for how a Christian lives. That has to be the basis of our thinking to be able to let the conscience work freely. That's one of our foundational verses. Then in 1 Timothy 1:5, if you already got your Bible open, can you turn to 1:5?
And now the goal of the commandment is love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a sincere faith.
And then, Sharon, I'm going to have you read one more out of 2 Timothy 3:16.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
And if we will follow what the scripture teaches us, then it says that the man of God or the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So this gives us a basis for our faith. If we are in the Word of God, our faith will be established. It will be made strong. The conscience will be made strong. The conscience will be kept clear and clean through the washing of the Word, so that whatever battles we have to fight in our behavior, whether it's contending for the faith, whether it's sacrificing, whether it's being suffering, that we can be assured that the conscience will be in good standing to not defraud us.
So the reason why we're struggling as Christians is the fact that we are not knowledgeable of the scripture. We're not spending time in the scripture to give our conscience the foundation it needs to stand on. And that's why we become dull of hearing.
You have summed it up beautifully. You just took the role away from me. And for that to be a reality, Sharon, then we can flip over to Proverbs 20:27, because it says that the conscience must always be active.
The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the innermost parts of his being.
In his heart. So once again, we know that the conscience can't just come on one day a week and work. It is working 24/7. Every thought, every matter of the heart, it's got to be constantly on a set of checks and balances. And if we are too busy, Sharon, with other things, we don't hear, because the conscience doesn't come in like a tornado. It doesn't come in like a hurricane. It comes in a still, small voice.
So it sounds to me like in our conversation that you are using the conscience and the Holy Spirit interchangeably. So you said the conscience is a still small voice. Well, God's a still small voice. And so basically, when we're talking about the conscience, it's like the voice box of the Holy Spirit.
That's a good illustration.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes that voice can produce perplexity. It's not always coming in about like, and I will amplify, Sharon, you know you shouldn't be doing that. Uh-huh. Sharon, why don't you confess so we can stay good and strong? No. Sometimes the thoughts come in with, what is going on? I'm troubled. I don't understand what I see. And that's not because you're in rebellion. It's because the conscience is bringing something that the conscience wants you to be directed to and is causing you to, say, feel a little uncomfortable because it wants you to search out the thing it's wanting to guide you on, because the Holy Spirit is wanting you to know. And the Holy Spirit is using the conscience as a tool to say, wait a minute. I had that happen the other day, and he took me to a chapter in the Bible where the disciples were perplexed. They couldn't figure out the effects of the resurrection. So I want people to know he can use perplexities. He can use things that make you uncomfortable, not to condemn you, but to guide you so that you can be commended on how you are following the Spirit by being in the Word, by having a solid foundation. So Sharon, I think what we need to say is that if we are not constantly actively in the Word, it's too easy for our own egos to try to figure things out and operate from there.
So then we're allowing our ego to use the conscience rather than the Holy Spirit.
Misuse the conscience. And the soul, and soul only really talks to soul. Soul is the mind, will, and emotions. And it's too easy for us today to be content to let the soul be the final authority rather than the Spirit working through the conscience. Because our soul is only going to talk to our soul. That's where we rationalize.
Okay.
That's where we discern from our own understanding. And unfortunately, the church in general is living more on that level.
So that's why we get a weak conscience, where we become dull of hearing.
Yes, and sometimes it's a wounded conscience. And so we probably need to take another whole lesson and get into the misuse of the conscience. Today we're trying to establish what the conscience is, what its purpose is, and
which
how it functions.
Which is very complex.
Yes.
I mean, it is really very complex.
It is, and yet hasn't the Lord made every provision? Because you see, that conscience has been operating since we were born, and by His grace, and because He does tell us some of the more obvious things, don't walk out of your own understanding. He gives us commands. He gives us imperatives that we must follow. It has been helping to hold the conscience in check and still functioning, even though we don't recognize it. We don't know all the complexities. But thank God He does, and it's still working. So can you see where the Lord in His grace and tenderness is still letting the conscience work? But when we know why and how it works, we have a greater understanding as to keep it clear and pure.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's what I mean by the conscience being a missing link, because when we have the understanding of how we are causing ourselves to grow dull of hearing, it brings a whole new understanding of how to keep ourselves sensitive to the Holy Spirit, sensitive to His voice. But that is all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzlaff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHearts.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hearts, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.